UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.
Time now for Fast Break Friday on the V Show, presented by Universal Windows Direct, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bob Valvano and Mike Pratt.
We have odd hand signals here. But we are, and it's Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us. He's Mike. I'm Bob. Today debuts our Pick the Game segment. But it will have to just be college this week because the NFL doesn't get started until next week. So we will do our thing. All right.
I've been working.
No. You're really loaded for bear to win this year, aren't you?
I've been eyeballing the Pac-12. Your favorite.
Oh, well, yeah, that's no fair. You take advantage of me there because I might as well just toss a coin for all those games. So... Oh, he wasn't talking into the mic. He was just talking as if he was visiting with me. All right, so there we go.
Got it?
Here we go. Great, thanks for being with us. Let me tell you, we are Fast Break Friday, presented by Universal Windows Direct. So this is fantastic that we are here with you again. There's so many things to tell you about, but I'll do that in just a bit. Reminder, though, the ESPN, this is not the right one. Where's the current one? Somebody took it already.
We got a whole stack of them in the
back. I know, but I had one here and somebody took it. The ESPN Louisville Football Insider.
Underneath.
This is the old one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the new one has Coach Satterfield and Coach Stoops on the cover.
All right.
That's last year's. And it's available now. It's available at all the following places: Class Act Federal Credit Union, Bear Nose, the Oxmoor Auto Group, Wing Zone, Penn Station East Coast Subs Restaurants, Buffalo Wild Wings, and the UPS Jobs Employment Center on National Turnpike. And it's always a great read. It's great fun. There's a preview of all the local teams. There's NFL stuff in there. There's fantasy football stuff in there. So it's. Did you ever play? You never played fantasy football, did you?
No.
You don't strike me as a fantasy
football guy. No, I enjoy watching. I watch. Boy, that game last night, Cincinnati and UCLA, was exciting. I mean, UCLA, if they had a little better quarterback, they might have won. But boy, Cincinnati was pretty impressive. They really were.
How interesting is that, by the way? I couldn't help but laugh. Mick Cronin just went out there in the first game. His football team was against his old basketball university. Well, so
I'll guarantee you this, that UC is probably pushing him to come back and play a game. Maybe, some form. I think they went out there last year. I think UCLA Cincinnati went out there last year. Yes, they did. I don't know if they returned the game or not. But that would be a huge game for Cincinnati.
That would be a nice thing to do. As long as if you go back, you know you're not going to get, treated rudely. But I don't know if they'll treat Mick. I don't think they'd do that. He was there a long time. He had a lot of success. I mean, that's different. Some guys leave and there's a lot of acrimony and they wouldn't go back if their lives depended on it. But sometimes you understand it's just an opportunity for a guy. And, UCLA is still UCLA. And that's it's a great opportunity for him.
I think it is, too. But you know what I found when we had them home and home? We also had Kansas on the home schedule. And people were more excited about Kansas in the Big 12 than UCLA.
Now they are.
I was excited to go to Pauley.
We remember. My second game, got to remember, I played at Virginia Wesleyan College. I mean, no disrespect to these schools, but we were playing people like Eastern Mennonite, Hampton Sydney. My second game on the staff at Hofstra was we played Lehigh as our opener, and then we went to play UCLA
at their place.
This is a little step up from the guys at the Randolph Macon, but it was very cool.
Must have been a big payday for you.
You know what it was? That was the year that they went to the national championship game and lost to Louisville. It was Larry Brown's year. Kiki Vandeweghe.
Wow.
Yeah. So
you went out there and played that crew.
Yeah.
That was a good.
And at halftime we were ahead. I think.
No way.
We were up by like two or so. We were up or down two, and I think like, whoa, we're going to be pretty good. And then the second half, Kiki scored like, I don't know, 700 points. It was just, they just came down every possession, threw it to him, he scored, threw it to him, he scored, threw it to him, he scored. And we were like, well, guess we're not going to win.
I guess that lead evaporated.
We also went to the Tonight Show.
Did you really?
Went to a taping of the Tonight Show. And we got there late. We were supposed to have really good seats, so we got there late, so we had to sit way up in the back. But that was a trip. Do you get to do much of that stuff when you go? Do you build in some things with the team?
Cal does with the team.
This was just the staff. We didn't bring all the players, staff went.
No, we when we go to New York, we end up doing some things. When we were in L.A. to play UCLA, I forget what heck we did, but he's really good about those making sure the players get a good experience.
I hate to say it, but if not, why are you even playing if you're not going to do that? I mean, seriously, I don't mean to be rude, but I mean, why, if you're going to make an exotic trip like that? Like, I was reading about this trip that you guys are making to Vegas, and I realized that the way you make this work is you build it so the fans have an experience, but they're playing a golf tournament out there too?
I saw that, and I don't know anything about it.
That's pretty impressive.
Must be for alums. And
I guess whoever it's for. That's a big – because that's one nice thing about when you go – that's the thing I liked when you played tournaments. Like when – even though, unfortunately, Louisville lost both games, but like when we went to the NIT last year, the tip-off NIT at the Barclays Center or whatever it was, the NIT, you get to play two games. So you were in town – you know, you stayed through Thanksgiving. You got to do some stuff. Nobody wants to do that because somebody's got to go home with two losses now. So, like the Champions Classic, the Jimmy V, they're all single games. You go and you play one game and you get the hell out of there. But the fun was when you're going to Vegas and play two games now, you'll get a chance to do some things.
Well, we play Utah on a Wednesday night, and then we play Ohio State on Saturday afternoon. Now, the only problem was we played out there. We played Carolina out there last year. The year before. No, Monk had a big game 2 years ago. We played Carolina out there in the same CBS Classic. Right. It was too cold to play golf. I mean,
Vegas does get a little cold. I remember that.
And the wind doesn't help it.
Oh, yeah.
When the wind comes whipping through there, you got some problems.
Isn't that awful? Because this is an awful thing. But you know what I remember? We played, there was a, the ESPYs were in Vegas 1 year. They moved them to Vegas from New York before they moved out to Hollywood, where it is now. And the ESPYs at that time were in February, before they moved it to the day after the All-Star game, when they smartly figured out there's no other sports going on. There's really literally not, it's the deadest sports day of the
year,
so it gets good coverage. But so it was February, and you know it's Vegas, and so you thought it might be warm enough. So we had the golf tournament, and somebody had the great idea. It's Vegas after all, of bringing out not a lot, but maybe a half a dozen showgirls in their costume. It was like 40 degrees. I felt so bad for these girls. I mean, they're trying to do the showgirl thing and look glamorous. And meanwhile, they had to be freezing
their rather
attractive buns off. It was unbelievable. I felt so bad for them. But that's how I remembered being so cold. I was like, my God. I thought, hey, we're going to be in Vegas in February. It'll be nice. And no. It was. They get winter, too.
Yeah, and you get up in the morning and it's cold. It's not freezing, but it's cold.
It's cold. And then when the wind was whipping on the golf course.
But that'll be nice. That'll be interesting to see what becomes of that golf tournament. But if you're going to be out there, you're going to go out on Tuesday. You're going to practice Tuesday and do all the media things and then play on Wednesday. And it'll be interesting to see exactly what they do with the players between the Wednesday game and the Saturday game. You can practice, but Calipari is good about that, trying to expose them to different things.
How do you feel about the you know, big games all being neutral site kind of things? Honestly, I guess you're from a different generation. You used to, who did you guys used to?
Oh, we went home and home with Michigan.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Went home and home with Carolina. We in our Christmas tournament, we had South Carolina, Duke, Michigan.
Wow, could you imagine that now?
Yeah, I mean, it was Rudy T played for Michigan. Rudy Tomjanovich. We played West Virginia. They were pretty good. Yeah, we you know, we it was different. It's different. It's different now, and I think a lot of it has to do with everybody thinks they've got to have 20, at least 20 home games.
Yeah, they really do.
To make money. That seems to be the number they all want to have.
And the way you do it is you play in these exempt events where the finale of the exempt event is at a neutral site against another team that's in the same boat you are. Mm-hmm. They're getting this two marquee teams generally, and they get the three extra home games or whatever it is, and then they also then get to go play the one game in Brooklyn or Vegas or the Garden or wherever it may be.
I think the problem Calipari faces now is he has played in every one of the SEC Big 12 challenges, every one.
Because some teams get left out. Well, they have to.
They have to. They don't have enough. So they would like to take a year off, okay? Now we'll be out of Texas Tech. No, they'll never get to do that. Kansas won't either.
No, exactly.
From their side. But then you plug that thing into two of these, the CBS and then the Champions Classic. And
he'd be, I think, my humble opinion, I don't run his program. I think the four guys would be crazy to give up on the Champions Classic. I think of all the things I'd make sure I kept, I would keep that. That is, I think, it's early enough in the year. If you take a loss, it's not going to kill you. I mean, unfortunately, the one, you know, every once in a while you get that shocking loss. Kansas had one against you guys where you blew them out of the water.
And Michigan State had it against us a few years ago, too.
And Duke had the one last year against you guys. But it's time to recover. It's early in the year. It's one game. And your center stage, I think it's, I'm selfishly, because we do it every year for ESPN Radio, but I think it's a great event. That's the one, and it's got a history now behind it. You know, now you start looking at the records. You know, there's certain records that are set. I don't know that I haven't seen any of the coaches sound like they're eager to walk away from it. But you know, things change. The ACC added in more conference games, and
they're
so,
going. That's Carolina's excuse, I understand, for not playing Kentucky home and home. They're going to 20.
They're going to 20.
They're in the CBS deal every third time you play them, but. You know, Duke doesn't want to go home and home with Kentucky. Kentucky's offered to go home and home with them, and they've turned them down.
Really?
Yeah.
How come he'll play home and home with them but not Indiana?
I don't know. I mean, you know, that all goes back to
when they tried to kill you guys at the end of the Indiana game.
But more than that, Kentucky put a really nice offer on the table two or three years ago, as I understand it, of playing a couple games in Indianapolis, selling the place half and half, going to Lexington, then Bloomington. And Crean turned it down. And from what I understand, Kentucky was willing to do it. They generated that. The person that does that told me that story. And he said the AD was okay with it. Crean turned it down. Cal's friends with the Miller family. They're from outside of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they're all
Cal's,
from that part of the country.
Yep, Western PA. And it'll be interesting whether he plays Indiana with Archie there. I mean, they're kicking around. Archie's opened the door. But I would say this, that if you could get rid of one of those two neutral site deals and you pick the one, I'm with you. I favor the one you're talking about, the
Champions Classic.
Champions. But, and then you could add a Indiana or somebody home and home where it didn't strain you for those 20 games. Scheduling is hard. Man, I talk to coaches and they go like, Mike, this is the hardest daggone thing in the world if you've got – a team that's perceived to be good, and it's good consistently. You know, people don't want to play you.
No, they don't. And you know, you used to be able to – same way you used to be able to money whip coaches. You used to be able to money whip teams to come play you. Now you can't even really do that. I mean, you can sometimes, but if you money whip too many of those teams, the strength of your schedule is so bad because you got teams that are down in the, you know, 300s of the power rankings. So it's a fine line. And don't forget, not everybody has the job security of a Cal. Or Bear Bryant famously said that the single biggest factor to coaches losing their job is scheduling.
Well, sure. I mean, that makes a whole lot of sense. But you have the net now, whether you like it or not, it's in place. And if you can project the people you're bringing in the next year so that you can stay in the upper portion, that's all that really counts.
That's the you got to be Nostradamus a little bit because from 1 year to the next, you don't know. I mean,
lucky. You have to be Mr. Lucky. Yeah. But, you know, what blows my mind, when I was at Charlotte, we used to try to play, and nobody wanted to play us because we had been to the NIT Finals, NCAA Final Four. We couldn't get anybody, you know, to come to our place. And this is a long time ago. And if you got $10,000.
I remember.
That's a lot of money.
We played DePaul at St. Francis. They gave us $10,000. Yeah. We thought we'd won the lottery.
Yeah.
Now they're
100.
Oh, we're going to say six figures.
100 is
high
average.
Six figures. High six figures, but 200, 250, they'll even go that high. It's unbelievable.
Ooh, I don't know. 100 is pretty. You know,
I've heard it in a situation like if there was a pressing need.
Oh, yeah.
You could squeeze too big, too large out of somebody.
Well, can you imagine you're coaching Hofstra? And Louisville calls you up and they go, "We got to have a game. Somebody dropped out. But we got. What do you want?" You go, North Carolina's paying us $125. How about $250?
Well, that's what I mean. That would have quadrupled my budget at St. Francis. But it is a difficult thing, and it's not going to. You know, there's always going to be reason to gripe. I mean, the thing about the 20 home games now is. It's on one hand, people say, "My God, I would love to have the luxury of having 20 home games," but they're playing 30. So to me, it's not a whole lot different as when you were playing 18 at home games and you're only playing 27 games. I mean, it's really, you know, to get those 20 home games. I know the reason they want it is for the do-re-mi, but I'm just saying it's not a to me, it doesn't seem like it's that far fetched. But what a great luxury to have if you can make it in the business. Some of my worst teams, if we'd had 20 home games, we probably would have had winning seasons. Yeah. I mean, play 20 games at home? I mean, seriously.
Well, but you were in a situation like I was.
You doing that.
You don't have that luxury.
I always feel for the – and a lot of them are historically black colleges. You look at their schedule from Thanksgiving to, like, January 8th is at, you know, at UCLA, at so-and-so, at so-and-so, at so-and-so. And I've talked to people, and they said, that's our whole budget. We make our entire operating budget in that month for the away games. Well, but then, of course, they have to start the season like 0-10, but they say we're not getting an at-large anyway. The only way we're going to the tournament is if we win our conference, so they take the money and go on. But that takes a certain kind of patience.
You know, when I was my last year as an assistant, one of my jobs for Lee Rose was to schedule. Okay, I mean, that was it. I brought the games to him, and he signed off on them. He was AD and head coach. So I'm working with Hank Raymonds, who's a sweetheart of a guy. At Marquette. He was Al's guy. And Hank says, "Look, here's what I'm going to do for you, Mike." He said, "Hank likes you. I mean, Al likes you." And, we had played in the Final Four that year. And then Lee stayed one more year. And he says, "Look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you $10,000 to come play in the Marquette Classic, whatever that was. And we won't play you. We promise not to play you until the championship game."
Right.
So, and then I'll come back to Charlotte 2 years after that.
Wow.
And I go,
"Pretty good deal.
That's a sweet deal." Not knowing I was going to become a head coach. I took it to Lee. He says, "Oh, my God, that's great."
Right.
You know. Little did we know Lee wasn't going to be there, and Al wasn't going to be there, right?
So you coached against Hank.
Yeah, yeah. I coached against Hank up there, and they beat us in the championship game. We won the first. They beat us in the second in the championship. And then 2 years later, he brings his team to Charlotte my last year, and I had my best player broke his cheek after two games, broke it up at Toledo. Toledo was really good then, and we're playing up there and broke it up there, and then my center bit the dust at Christmas because he didn't turn in some papers, and I had to start five freshmen, and Al came rolling in there. I mean, Hank came rolling in there with a pretty good team, but I talked to him before the game. He said, "Mike," he said, "I know you're struggling," and he was always very nice to me. He says, "I know you're struggling, but I'm afraid of this game. You got some decent young players and big crowd. As a matter of fact, it was a sellout, 10,500." And I said, "Well, Coach, I need a W, buddy." And so we ended up upsetting them.
Nice.
So he wrote me a note. He said, "I'm really happy for you." I probably kept it simple. "I'm really happy for you. You know, hang
That's
in there.
Nice.
Watch your AD." But he said, "I ain't playing you again."
Yeah, you did. See, well, he was
but
honest
I ain't
anyway.
Playing you again.
You yeah, know? Well, that, you know, they got out of it what they needed, though. They filled a spot in their tournament, which they won.
Yep.
And then they went down to you. And, you know, losing on the road is never a really heinous sin unless you're losing to some terrible team. You guys were not terrible. terrible by any stretch. So, you know, I just those days are kind of gone, man. I mean, you know, so much of the non-conference schedule is predicated by the TV deals, and yep. and that's what it comes down to. And there's not a lot of that. You know, let me call my friend. You know, let me call my friend Mike and say, can we work something out here? And you know, I'll do something for you. You do something for me. No, it's not all about.
Could
that.
You imagine the reaction to the people who hold the television rights for the ACC Big Ten Challenge, SEC Big 12, if Kentucky or Louisville just said, we're not playing.
Yeah.
We're not playing. Well, you got, you know, you got a Saturday where you're plugged in. You got to have a game.
My guess is there would be some financial ramifications. They probably would forfeit. I mean, they must have some leverage over these teams because somebody would call their bluff.
Does,
if the league must say, oh, yeah, you can do that. But guess what? Guess who's not getting their share of the TV money this year?
There you go. I don't know what it is, but that would be if Duke said, look, I'm not playing the Big Ten ACC Challenge. You know, so you got that game built in every other year at home. But on the off year, when you go someplace, like we go to Lubbock, Texas. By the way, have you ever been to Lubbock, Texas?
I've done games there.
Oh, my God.
As the joke goes, I spent a month there one day.
I did. I was the advanced. We played Texas Tech, and we it was already scheduled when we got there. So we played them in Charlotte and beat them. We had to go back to Lubbock over Christmas break. So to get there, you know, you had to leave a day. To get there for an evening game. So I had to go out and scout them. Then I was waiting for the team to get there 2 days later. And we played – it was like they played on Wednesday, and we played them on Saturday. So I go out, fly all day Wednesday, get to Lubbock. It's cold and windy. I watched the game. Not many people there because, you know, the students were gone. And it's – you know, it was bizarre. And then I spent – A year and two days. I did. I know what you mean. It's out there, man.
You know, it's weird. I say that joke because that's what you're supposed to say. But I kind of like some of these obscure places we've gone because they're happy to have you there for starters. Uh-huh. And I'm a simple person. I can find something or a little non-franchised place to eat or some place that you'll find some goofy museum or something that, you know, you say, well, I'm never going to see this anywhere else. I might as well go there. Hey, look at that. It's the Carousel Museum, which they actually have, by the way, right near ESPN. It's the National Carousel Museum. They have all these old merry-go-rounds, you know, and throughout history. There's probably one from Fountain Park here in Louisville. I don't even know.
Yeah. Clemson is a lot like Mississippi or Mississippi State or even Auburn, as far as there's not a whole lot to do in that town. Or Virginia Tech when you go there,
yeah,
right?
Blacksburg.
I mean, and you look at Dr. Doom's alma mater, not a lot to do in Charlotte.
Oh, no, I disagree
with
that.
It's a pretty little place.
I like Charlottesville.
It's a pretty place.
A really active – they're a little snooty, but because of that, they got some really good concerts and stuff like that. And, like, when I was in town – I mean, what's that comedy show we like? Whose Line Is It Anyway? They were doing a live version of that there. And then that night there was a concert by actually, that was at night. There was a concert in the afternoon, same theater. It was a day-night doubleheader at this theater.
Wow, how
about the afternoon,
that?
Whoever the musician was, I can't remember, but he's a relatively big name. And I know that because he came to the basketball game that night. He was at the game. I was doing an ESPN game. It wasn't a Louisville game. I think it might have been Virginia and Carolina or somebody. But the guy who did the concert in the afternoon came to the basketball game. And then that night was Whose Line Is It Anyway? They did a concert there. There's that, you know, that hotel. What is the hotel? Is it called the Omni? It's the one where right behind it there's that strip of all these little beautiful, like, boutique-y kind of shops. There's no chains there, no chain restaurants, no chain shops. And what the hell is the name of the hotel? We stay there all the time. I can't remember the name of it.
I haven't been to Charlottesville in 10 years.
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
No. It's fantastic. And there used to be a hockey rink right behind it, too, which we're a little mad at because they knocked it down.
They cut the hockey out in Virginia?
Some guy, the UVA's club team used to play there.
Oh, okay.
And they had a decent club team. Did you know there's actually an ACC club hockey
did not know that.
Conference?
Yeah. And this thing, so I would go watch, you know, me, I would go grab a soft drink and a hot dog and sit and watch these kids play hockey. And some guy bought it and he's turning it into an office complex. Just what we need, more offices.
Yeah.
Not
at the expense of a nice hockey rink.
And the kids, and I asked the woman, I said, why did they get rid of it? Was it not used? She said it was in use all day. There were youth teams that played all day. The college played there. They had open skating on the weekends, but it's a valuable piece of real estate. And they just, that's why golf courses are going away. They just can't justify how much money you make selling people 40, even for $100 rounds of golf when you could sell the damn thing for millions and millions.
Right. That's right. And I think you're going to see more of it because.
And the number of golfers has been
consistently
dwindling.
Dwindling.
Yeah.
By the way, how's your little golf game over there at Speed?
I had 81 yesterday.
Did you
nice
really?
Nice round, yes. I'm telling you, I have newfound respect. First of all, the people there are extremely nice. You know, we have membership at Standard, and I love
right.
Standard.
Yep.
But to be quite honest, I go out there. They're nice enough. I go around once. I play two balls. So I play 18 holes in like an hour and a half. I'm older now. It's a short course. But it's harder than you think it is. I'd love for you to come over there and see it one time, because when I first saw it, I was like, this is a strange course. It was built in 1926. Golf courses were way shorter in the 1920s.
And very small greens.
The greens are tiny, Mike, tiny. I mean, you can't – to get a ball on the green in regulation, you got to be pinpoint accurate, and not many of us are pinpoint accurate.
Or we wouldn't be talking
here. Exactly. So you got to – it puts a premium on your short game. There's a whole lot of trouble. The course is out of bounds on like five of the holes. There's water on like four of the holes. So it's very short, very short. But you got to hit good shots. And because of that, I've got newfound respect for the place. It's been a lot of fun. And I zip out there. It's very, very, very affordable. And so it's been a nice place to head out. And
a couple of weeks ago, I went over to Standard and played nine holes.
Great.
It's
yeah.
It was really
It's in great shape. And it's a wonderful course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, that's a different level of golf. But this for me is, I can hit clubs that you know, I can hit like the par threes are generally drivers and a short iron. You know, I can't on a real course. For me, it's driver and a four iron.
You're
a hybrid.
You mean the
par four. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so by the way, I want to get into this on the other side. It's college football. We'll get into all these games. But if we don't spend a minute talking about Aristides Aquino, we have done ourselves a disservice. Is this an unbelievable story? I mean, this is a guy that batted 216. At AA in 2017, and 240, they kept him at AA, and he only batted 240, and the Reds took him off their roster. Anybody could have taken him. Anybody could have taken this guy, and they said, look, we'd like to have you back, but we just can't protect everybody, so it's unbelievable. They brought him back, and now he set a record in August for home runs.
The other night I was watching part of the game. I think it was Miami, or maybe it was Pittsburgh a week or so ago, and he hit a home run, and they kept breaking it down. And it's amazing how quick he can get that bat through the strike zone. I mean, he's just powerful and quick hands.
You know,
wow.
I think baseball's – I don't know that this is true of basketball. I mean, you know, I didn't get a chance to play professionally like you did, so maybe you could shed light on this. Maybe it's not right. But there are some games – I think golf is like this, baseball's like this – where the mechanics of it make it where if all of a sudden it clicks, it's like somebody hits a light switch and your performance level can just go off the charts. And that's what had happened with this kid. I mean, he was 217, 240, and then here in Louisville, they brought him up to AAA, and he batted 299, 636 slugging percentage with 28 home runs in 78 games. We had Greg Galliano on yesterday. He's still among the league leaders in the International League in like all these categories, even though he has only played half the year because he was so good.
So he got to keep his stats.
Yeah, the stats stay.
Yeah.
And now with the Reds, he's even better. He's batting 330, 804 slugging percentage. He was 3-for-5 yesterday with his 14th home run, and this is absolutely incredible. And what's even more amazing is the fans who hate the strikeout, his strikeout rate has gone down. He struck out 29% of the time in AA. He's only striking out 23% of the time in the major leagues. How does that is very, very unusual.
He's seeing the ball.
Yeah.
Right? He is just on top of that, picking that ball up. And they traded Puig, right? And you know, he could do some things. He wasn't consistent, but he had some power. When they got rid of him,
the door opened for this dude.
This door opened. They must have known or had a feeling that what this kid could do.
You know what's amazing is that they chart, because now they chart everything almost to the point of too much, I think, but that's just one fan speaking. But what the stuff like this is really useful. He's hitting everything. The list of home runs in August, just August, and the list of pitchers he's hit him off: Dallas Keuchel, Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, Adam Wainwright. I mean, but and he's hit. The first one was a changeup. Second one was a fastball. Third one was a changeup. Fourth was a cutter. Fifth was a sinker. He hits anything you throw. I mean, that's what's incredible. Sometimes you'll see a guy who, you know, can just get dialed in dead red and hit fastballs, but this guy hits everything.
That's what I mean. He's seeing the ball so well.
He hit two. In the last 2 days, and one was off a changeup, the other was off a curveball. And he's just, It's just incredible, and it's fun to watch. He reminds me of, for the Mets, Peter Alonso, where they just struggled. This was a guy they didn't even know was going to be on the roster in the spring. They really didn't. They were like, I don't know, maybe, maybe not. And now he's got 42 home runs. He has set the all-time franchise for home runs, not by a rookie, just home runs in general. He's got 100 RBI, and he's been one of the really bright spots while the Mets season, unfortunately. There's been no singing here for a week.
South. Going south.
Swept by the Braves and Cubs back-to-back. Very, very sad.
Yeah.
It was fun for a while.
I should have brought you boys a couple brooms here today.
All right. Why would you do that? At least they were relevant for a while. The Reds weren't even relevant.
No. How about those Yankees, though?
Yeah. That, you know, it is incredible how I still have said that before. When you look at how many games they've missed, whatever games, for them to be where they are is almost unbelievable. And they don't really have, by the way, a great pitching staff. Their bullpen's really good, but their starters are meh. And they are 41 games over 500, 88-47. That's really astounding to me. They've got an 11-game lead on Tampa Bay, and right now they have the best record in the major leagues. They're half a game ahead of the Dodgers.
They took two or three from the Dodgers, and that got them over the Dodgers.
Dodgers at home, though, are 52-18. It's going to be a great postseason. You know who's also great? I mean, the Mets, I thought, had a chance. I know if you're a Cub fan listening, you'll get mad. But I thought they had a chance to maybe run down the Cubs for the wild card. And it's still not over, although they've now got five games to make
Atlanta.
Up. But Atlanta's really – Atlanta's just better than the Mets. They're really good.
Yeah, they
that guy
–
did you see Acuna throw the guy out at second the other day? He's playing right field. I don't know if you remember. You might be old enough to remember this. Remember the Pittsburgh Pirates had that great video of Roberto Clemente going in the right field corner, cutting that ball off, whirling, and throwing a guy out at home plate. I mean, just absolutely throws a piss rocket like 380 feet. Acuna did the same thing, but he threw it to second. He kept the guy from getting a double. 99% of all the outfielders, that's a double. And he throws the guy out of second. Not only does he turn and throw it, you know, a quick release, but it is right. He throws it right on the base. I mean, the guy catches it on top of the bag. That's a special talent. And that kid's still young. He's going to be, he already is a star.
He plays the outfield a lot like Dale Murphy did. Dale Murphy was a heck of a defensive
outfielder. He was a great player. Unfortunately, yeah. Toiled for many awful Braves teams.
Some of the worst.
I mean, I feel for him like I feel for Ernie Banks. Those guys played for some awful. Their stretch of career was.
Billy Williams was with Ernie Banks then. You know,
it's hard to believe
Santo.
It's hard to believe the Cubs were that bad for so long. When you think about the players, that Ferguson Jenkins, Ernie Banks, Ron Santo, Billy Williams, Ken Holtzman.
Now help me with this, and maybe one of our listeners can. When all those guys were with the Cubs. There was obviously not a playoff. You had to, win the league, the National League.
Or the division.
League.
Well, there was they stretched over to the year the Mets won the pennant in 69 was the first year divisional play.
Okay, so they were in a situation where I think their best teams came along at the wrong time.
Yeah, probably.
And then they started getting rid of the guys and they hit the skids.
Okay? That's true.
You know, it's like the Dodgers. They got on a real roll there in the 70s and early 80s and. And the Yankees did too. Yankees tanked in the
Yankees were when I was a kid. 90s? It was the worst. What the worst stretch of Yankee baseball was late 60s.
Yep.
Right after Mantle retired, they won the pennant in 64. They weren't good in 65, 66, 67, 68, 69. They started to come back, but the Mets won the World Series, so they're overshadowed in New York. Yankee Stadium started to fall apart. It was a rough time for the franchise. Then they got, in the 70s, of course, they won three pennants in a row, 76, 77, 78.
Middle 70s.
76, 77, 78, and then they won the World Series back-to-back, 77, 78. Lost to the Dodgers in the World Series in 81 in that strike-shortened year. And then they had that real dominant run in the 90s where they won 96, 98, 99, 2000.
Joe Torre. Yeah.
And the first one they won was after they lost the first two games to Atlanta. Remember that? They lost the first, and finally got back to the World Series in 96. They lost the first two games at home to Atlanta. And, you know, Steinbrenner was ready to blow up the whole stadium. And Torre walked in and said, relax, George, we're in good shape. He said, I've always had great success in Atlanta. And the Yankees went down and won three straight in Atlanta, came back and clinched it in Game 6 in New York. So it's funny I remember that, but I can't remember somebody's
phone number. That's your baseball history lesson now.
That's what baseball's all about,
folks.
That's
right. That's right.
We'll take a break. We'll come back, talk a little college football. That gets underway. It actually got underway last night. No surprise. Clemson dropped the bomb on Georgia Tech. And we'll do our picks a little bit later in the show, too. That's going to be damned entertaining. So stay with us here. It's Fast Break Friday, presented by Universal Windows Direct. Hey, Bobby V here. You've heard me talking about Vitality Wellness and weight loss for good reason. I've lost over 20, almost 30 pounds, actually. And it's all personalized and works just for you. It's not a one-size-fits-all diet. And they tailor their programs, their supplements, the minerals, to what your body needs. I like understanding how and why we're doing things. And that's what they explain to you at Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Give them a call. They're at 502-442-7180. Vitality Wellness and Weight Loss. Be healthier, thinner, happier. Starting tomorrow at Vitality.
The Four Roses Bourbon Rock the Water Tower, September 1st at the Louisville Water Tower Park, featuring the Four Roses Bourbon Tasting Experience and amazing food. Live music by Tony and the Tan Lines and the Crashers, with special guests John Elefante, former lead singer of Kansas, and Johnny Edwards, former lead singer of Foreigner, and much more. Classic rock, classic, and Rock the Water Tower. Tickets available online now at rockthewatertower.com.
Do you suffer from peripheral neuropathy in the hands or feet, continual numbness, tingling or burning sensation, balance problems, decreasing the quality of your life? This is Mike Pratt, University of Kentucky Basketball Hall of Famer. I am here to talk to you about Dr. Anthony Sears, author of Your 21st Century Doctor. One issue that has long frustrated Dr. Sears, that many neuropathy sufferers are unaware of, is the potential dangerous side effects of the prescription drugs that they are using. They are unaware of recent studies that reveal the very drugs they're taking are actually making the condition worse. Dr. Sears' passion is showing patients how to reverse their neuropathy and live without the fear of the inevitable downward spirals created by the disease itself and the typical cocktail drug approach. To learn more, I invite you to his free seminar, Blueprint to Neuropathy. This seminar is free. Seating is limited. Call now to reserve your spot, 1-888-655-PAIN. Again, 1-888-655-PAIN.
Hey, it's Yaya. You probably heard the Vibonals raving about Melantoni Italian restaurant. Well, they're raving about me. They're my family recipes. I run the joint. So please stop by Melantoni. We're located by I-64 right off the Hirshhorn exit. And man, have I been busy. We just opened our second location at 1008 Commerce Boulevard in Barstown, Kentucky. We have daily lunch specials for just $5.99, such as baked ziti and manicotti. Come see me at Melantoni. Okay, I gotta get back to cooking.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Hi, I'm Mike Pratt, here to tell you about Premier Packaging, a locally owned business that specializes in packaging, shipping, and logistics. Since 1984, Premier Packaging has taken a straightforward approach you can trust. With shipping costs on the rise, their team of professionals will work with you personally to minimize costs and increase your bottom line. From inbound, outbound, storing, and picking, Premier Packaging has solutions for your businesses, large or small. Visit primpack.com and sign up for a free assessment. Premier Packaging. This approach makes a difference.
My house has a new glow. I love my windows. Universal Windows Direct.
Hey, it's Bob Valvano. Right now, for every window you buy, you get the next one free, no limits, and 0% financing for 36 months. Call 502-487-5200 or go to universalwindowsdirect.com. Like me, you'll be saying, I love my windows.
I love my windows. They've got that brand new home effect. Universal Windows Direct.
When it comes time to rent anything for your next party, turn to who we turn to around here. That's Rent and Rave. For everything from events in your backyard to major corporate outings, Rent and Rave can help you. From big tents right down to the tablecloths, they helped out with my golf tournament. We're using them for my son's wedding, and they are terrific. Visit rentandrave.com. That's rent, the letter N, rave.com.
Hey, this is Mike Pratt, and do you know what sets a community bank apart from the rest? Friendly service, attention to detail, focus on making sure customers get what they need. At River City Bank, you will receive all of that and more. Be it a home improvement project, construction of a new home, or a bridge loan, their team is with you every step of the way.
Visit any convenient River City Bank location or online at rivercitybankky.com. Hometown banking, hometown people, River City Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Fast Break Friday is brought to you by Universal Windows. Schedule your free in-home estimate today, and for every window you buy, you get the next one free. Plus 0% financing for 36 months and free installation. You'll be saying, I love my windows.
There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid.
Tired today. Nick is very tired today. We went to see him at his other job at Equus Jack's here in Louisville, a fine restaurant. And he worked, and he was the closer last night. So he got in very late. So he, and he has to do, for the people here in Louisville, he's now double dipping. He has to do lock show also. So he's very tired.
I'm not very tired.
Extremely I am pretty tired. And you're very cranky.
The real question is,
which mic is he on? There we go. Sorry, buddy.
Do you get paid for all these jobs?
Yeah, sure.
Well, good.
Not well, handsomely, but paid.
Well, it's okay, but you got some checks to cash. It's kind of like going to the track, man.
All right, here, let's appease everybody who wants us to talk football. Here we go. Here it comes.
I've got sound.
Here comes football. Nothing like two guys. Five guys love what we're talking about. Two guys hate it, so I should actually be saying we're doing well by percentage.
Do you want the sound
but
I cut?
I don't really give a damn because I just want to say this.
Good.
Notre Dame, unfortunately... They didn't even sell all their tickets for the game, so they're not all that jazzed up.
That is surprising.
Because, this is why I don't like when I have this job, because you make a choice. You either have to lie in the interest of getting people to like you, or you've got to tell the truth. And the truth is, if this were not named the University of Louisville, if this were Tulsa, I went through the Sagarin ratings last year. The schools that Louisville was comparable with last year in the Sagarin ratings are Youngstown State, Dartmouth, and Tulsa. Do you think if Notre Dame were playing any of those teams, the national interest would say, well, you never know, the big green at Dartmouth might just spring the upset. You'd be expecting they're going to win. What did Georgia Tech lose last night? 45-7?
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at.
What was the line in that?
I don't know, but that's what you're looking at. I'm not eager to talk about it, because then I'm either going to piss off the people who believe that if you work in the market, you're supposed to dress in a skirt and be the cheerleader. I'm rooting for Satterfield. He seems like a wonderful man, which is terrific. I love the way he's trying to build his program. He inherited London after the Second World War. There's blown out buildings all over the place. He's got no... What do you expect the man to do? When people say... say that, I sometimes think they don't have a clue about what coaching encompasses. Do you think he has some super-duper screen pass that's going to baffle Brian Kelly's defensive coordinator? How do we defend that? I don't know. Well, they've run it 16 times in a row. I mean, that's not how the game works. You need players and a system and repetition and confidence, and they've had none of those things. He's got no proven talent. He's got an unproven quarterback, an entire staff that he admits is still learning his system while they're trying to teach it. And last week he was talking about having to, again, emphasize a work ethic, which isn't even second nature here yet because he hasn't been here long enough to instill that kind of culture. So what would you like me to tell you? Yep, they got something for him. Never know. I'll say this, which I've said many times. You know who's got the best chance to upset Notre Dame this week? Louisville. They're the only team playing them. But the fact of the matter is,
I said that
if you want to analyze it, they have... It will be one of the shockers of all time. And don't throw App State beating Michigan at me because they had built their program for a number of years. They were a good team. Yeah. That doesn't mean by the end of the year Louisville may not be a good team. I don't know. But what analysis do you want out of this? What do you actually want to talk about here? What would you like? Do we have no idea how good Juwan Pass is going to be. We have no idea how good anybody's going to be except for the fact that I'll be honest with you. The vibe is they are trying to do it with smoke and mirrors for a while. They're going to try and hold down the fort until they can get recruiting classes in, and you don't want to, you know, throw your own kids under the bus, so you certainly don't want to say, hey, you guys are no good. But you also have to be realistic that they got a long way to go. There's a whole lot of people that have to prove a lot of things at a lot of different positions. There you go. That's the reality of it, okay? So what would you want to belabor that? Knock yourself out.
For all of that, and I enjoyed that take. I really.
Well, you know why you enjoyed it? Because you like the truth, like me.
Dang. Well, let me say.
I thought I was the cranky one.
He must have worked his job last night. Anyway, let me throw this at you, Pops.
Yes.
The one thing I think that is going to be slow to develop for U of L, and you know, Joker's tenure left Kentucky in this situation too. Believe me, in the first year that Stoops said he won two games. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. So
did he suddenly get smarter over the last few years? I don't think so.
What did Coach Rupp once tell us? He ran us out of practice after saying this. He said, do you boys know what the Kentucky Derby is? We're all going like, yeah. You know, we're just nodding. He goes, yep, it's a horse race. And he said, boys, only thoroughbreds win the Derby, not donkeys. Y'all a bunch of donkeys today. Get out. Get out. Ran us out of practice.
But so like anyway, I said,
let me ask you this. You mentioned one thing I think is going to be so important but so hard to develop because you have to play for this, Bob, is confidence. This team lost their confidence.
Well, that Juwan Pass especially.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team. I mean,
well, again, we're not bashing Petrino, but there's no question coaches have styles. His was a absolutely scream-in-your-face style.
Okay.
Some guys don't react well to that. I think Juwan was one of those guys, and I think it affected him to the point, and you said it, where all of a sudden you start thinking, gee, I can't do anything. You start aiming the ball, you start short arming the ball, you take a half a count extra because you're not quite sure you want to release the ball, you know, and so that's the problem you have. And so that's what we're looking at here.
So how, you know, people say, well, how do you get, you know, give them confidence? They ought to have confidence. Well, no, they don't. When everybody around them is telling them how bad they are, how bad they're playing, the coaches are telling them that sometimes. It takes success. I mean, a coach can be as positive as he wants to be. And they want to be. They understand building a culture and being positive and having confidence. But a player's got to go out and get some things done and get success and feel good about themselves. And the people around them have to feel good. Well, that takes time. That takes ball games. Who knows how long
Cal has a saying that's something like this, but I used to say all the time, nobody gives you confidence. Confidence is successful performance under pressure.
Yep.
That's why you can say, well, he had a good practice, but gee, he's had trouble translating it to the game. Well, because he still hasn't done it in a game yet. Until you do it, golfers talk about that. They say their whole challenge is to build a swing that's going to hold up on the back nine on Sunday. Because even they're not immune to it. Even though they're millionaires and they're set for life financially, you got to have trust and confidence that what you've done is good enough to get the job done. And maybe they will. Listen, nobody would be happier than me, than I, Nobody would be happier than I am. Nobody would be happier than I if we're doing the show in December and I'm here saying, boy, I had no idea Scott Satterfield was going to be able to squeeze 7 wins out of this team. But right now, for this particular game, against the team that was a national semifinalist last year, is ranked in the top 10, has enough of their players back, has their coach back, to play this first game against the team that last year, Sagarin ratings, was 58. Notre Dame's Sagarin rating last year was 87.
Or 87.
30-point favorites. Do you think that what is giving you reason to think that things have changed 30 points between last year to this year?
I would agree with you. But saying that, even though to talk to you about your statement about the fans, usually Notre Dame, no matter who they're playing, they played some dogs in New York. Okay, they've gone in there and played some games that are dogs for that fan base. There's a whole bunch of Notre Dame people there, not necessarily alums. Notre Dame has a ton of people that are, what do they call them, the streetcar alums?
The subway alums.
Subway alums. Well, Notre Dame hasn't been here. Have they ever played here?
I don't think, no. No, it's a huge game. That's a big game.
I can't believe. Well, I would have bet the place was near capacity and a huge amount of Notre Dame fans. I would have bet that one. Doesn't sound like what you just told me.
For them, for their fan base. Now, I mean, for the Louisville, of course it's a big deal. It's an enormous deal.
Well, but Notre Dame's going to have to bring people to the game to make it a sellout. Well, because of all the things you just said over the last 5 minutes about what's going on out there. I mean, you're going to have some support from the Notre Dame fans, and that will be interesting to see.
Well, let's see. Listen, you know what? You guys will have a ball if on Tuesday after Labor Day you can come in and Louisville wins or they lose by a field goal. You can say, boy, that narrative didn't work out. And we will certainly talk about that and we'll celebrate Scott Satterfield and the players and everything that went into it. But I just... I certainly didn't break down film, but if you eyeball tested what went on, they had their doors blown out the last third of the season.
No question. And some people thought they rolled over.
They were not competitive. I am one of those people, I'm amazed. The same people who will say, oh, no, it's all new year, blah, 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 will be the first ones to tell you, well, you know what? They buy into the cliche, and it's a cliche because I do think it's true. There's no such thing as a light switch. You can't turn it on and off. You can't, we got great concentration and effort this game Monday, but then Thursday
good
we
teams.
Don't.
Yeah, good
so
teams if don't
they,
do that.
So the last time they were on a football field, this group of players, they had very little focus and very little motivation. It's going to be very difficult to think they've mastered that, and as Mike suggested, very little confidence with good reason. All of a sudden, all those things are going to fall into place just because of spring football and the preseason practices here. I think that the coaches are in a very awkward spot because I think they're smart. I really like Scott Satterfield a lot. I'm rooting hard for him, but I believe he knows the talent level you're going to need to compete at the ACC, and he knows they are not anywhere close to having that level across the board. Now, the frontline guys, he's got some good frontline guys, some good ones, as they call them. But football's a game of depth, and the twos and the threes, he's trying to say as tactfully as he can, the drop-off is gigantic, and that's against the Notre Dame team that's probably got three All-Americans on the playing on their third unit, let alone their second unit.
I think he's a North Carolina guy. He was at App State. He understands the ACC as well as anybody from a football standpoint. Now, my question to you, though, and we can talk about this, how long will it take him to get his team to a level, get that competitive edge? I'm not saying win 7, 8, 10 games. I'm just to be competitive because they weren't the last part of the season,
no,
right?
No, it was painful to watch.
Okay, so how long is it going to take them in games? To get that. That's right. You're exactly right, Bob. You put your hands up
sure,
in the air.
Who knows? That's the point.
That is the point. Who knows?
So, I mean, it is. To me, now having said that, before anybody gets mad, I mean, Mike and I we talk about what pops into our head. The kid with the Reds is a great story. The basketball scheduling is always on the story. We were getting to football. We get 2 hours before you lose your mind. But but the fact of the matter, we're going to make our football picks. But the fact of the matter is, having said that now, I actually find Kentucky and Louisville's seasons, for very disparate reasons, very interesting. Like, I'll be honest with you, to some degree, I find it more interesting than the national scene. I'm amazed, again, and I understand it's this charade we have to go through every year as if we really don't know who's going to be any good in college football when they've already anointed who the good teams are going to be. They already decided in the preseason it's going to be Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State and Michigan and Oklahoma and Georgia. And then after that, then it gets interesting. It might be Notre Dame, might be A&M, might be LSU. Who knows? Will a Pac-10 team, Pac-12 team break in there possibly? But by and large, before the season starts, they've told us who's going to be the best teams. And they're, you know, for various reasons, you could claim the system is set up to make that happen. They used to be. I mean, they would do polls before they took a snap, and the polls factored into who made the playoffs. So, like I said, it was like giving Usain Bolt a 20-yard head start. Pretty good chance he's going to win that race.
Right.
So, but Kentucky's interesting because last year they had 10 games. Do they now build on that to the point where you say, hey, they're here? You know, nationally, that's not the narrative. Nationally, the narrative is where they had two NFL-caliber stars last year. That was an outlier of a year. And they'll be hard pressed to even get what's the over under on wins for them, 6 or something, which is I know is pissing off the people in the program because they're saying we don't get any respect.
That's a good chip on your shoulder.
You know, it is. So that's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be interesting to see if Terry Wilson can be a more impactful player than I mean he had moments last year, but they're going to need more from him. For Louisville, can this guy, if you believe, and I do to some degree, that they you know had more talent than 2 wins. They should beat the 2 directional teams. They should. It doesn't mean they will because you take nothing for granted when you're coming off a 0 ACC ledger. But if they could beat Eastern and Western, assuming they don't beat Notre Dame, they're 2-1, then if just effort, discipline, focus, a little bit more confidence can get them 1 win in the league, I think it's one of those things, if they get 1, they'll get 2. So I think they'll either win 2 games or 4 games. I don't think they'll win 3. I think they'll, you know, there's a couple of other teams that aren't exactly powerhouses in this league right now. Maybe you catch them. They're having some struggling a little bit. But that's
Do you play Georgia Tech?
They don't, unfortunately.
They look bad.
No, that's a bad year not to catch them.
But I, well, to your point about the 3 games, I mean, Western was not impressive last night. Eastern, I think, is the team you might want to watch. If you're not ready, they can slip in here.
I hate to say it. If you lose to them, then you've really got some, as Ricky Ricardo would say, you got some splaining to do.
But to this point, it's very hard to take a team that's been beaten down if you're playing a tough schedule, which Louisville is.
It is. It's a good schedule.
You know, the ACC has upgraded their football.
Yep.
So, and they're in the toughest side of the deal, right?
Yep.
So it makes it even harder. That made it hard for Stoops to come back and rebuild Kentucky. Made it really hard for him because the schedule doesn't play in your favor. Now, this year, what I like about Kentucky's team, and the one thing I like about what Stoops has done and what Satterfield has to do, is the depth. We finally are starting to have some depth of some quality
people.
Well,
that's what we were talking about. He had talked about that for years, that was their one drawback. They didn't have the depth of the quality.
Yeah, and so it will be interesting to see how these young folks fare for Kentucky. And on the other hand, I don't think they're going to have a confidence issue coming off 10 win season. They've got linemen in their back that played last year, so they shouldn't. But Louisville, that confidence factor, man, it is such a hard thing to put your finger on. I mean, coaches, if you could sell a coach in any sport the potion that would correct a lack of confidence or maintain a good, strong bit of confidence, you'd be a gazillionaire, Bob. We'd own an island someplace. I mean, that confidence thing, it comes and goes sometimes, you know, in a quarter. And certainly from game to game, you've seen guys in basketball that are shooting lights out for stretches, and all of a sudden it goes south on them, and the coach is working with them, the assistants are working with them. But you know what? He's looking at video. He's looking at everything he can look at. But it's all about upstairs. If when you get ready to shoot, if you think, it might not. I mean, you just got to catch it and shoot it. Catch it and shoot it.
Well, that's what they say about all sports. See the ball, hit the ball.
Yeah.
But it's easier said than done, though, because when you know, there are times when the rim looks gigantic, and there are times when you say, hey, does this ball really fit in there?
Right. And sometimes you can't see the ball very well when it's coming to you to hit.
You can't make a putt. I mean, it's every sport. It's unbelievable. It's just but that's the bottom line. And Louisville's going to have to overcome that a little bit. But I think they're interesting teams for those reasons. And I picked in our magazine, I picked Kentucky to win 8 games. I picked Louisville to win 4 games. I think that's optimistic for both of them. I don't think it's impossible by any stretch. But, I think they could both do that, and we'll see how it plays out. But for that reason, I think they're both very interesting teams to follow. But this particular game, and I got news for you, I'm tipping my hand a little bit. I feel bad for Kentucky, for Toledo also, because if they don't blow them out, I was giving Locke some crap for this the other day. This is a perfect game if you want to be critical of Kentucky, because you can paint it so no matter what they do, you can still be
critical.
It's
not good enough.
Well, if they win, you say, well, it's a MAC school. They're supposed to win by
a lot. Right.
If they don't win or they win close, you say, oh, my God, see, this was a team that was telling us they're at another level, and they can only beat Toledo. The Sagarin ratings, and by the way, Lister made a good point about the Sagarins, which I'll mention in a minute, but the Sagarin ratings have Kentucky as a 4.5-point favorite. The betting line is double digits.
But it's 11. But that's also off last year's stats.
Well, they think what they and do, this is what the listener said. It's predicated, I think, on an average. Like, you know, that's why last year's Louisville 2-10 is considered for statistical people an outlier. So that Sagarin hasn't given it that much weight, which is why they're only 18-point underdogs against Notre Dame. But this is where sometimes, you know, numbers, especially when you don't have any kind of a sample size for this year, could be misleading. I don't think Louisville right now, it's going to be hard pressed. The Sagarin, they've increased, and I know this doesn't happen very often. Whoever does the Sagarin, Jeff Sagarin and whoever's people are, they've increased Louisville's rating by 10 points. That rarely happens. That is a huge jump forward. Notre Dame is about where they were last year. Do you think Louisville's 10 points better? Really? I don't know. I hope they are.
See, I
hope so.
I think the Sagarins right now in the first week maybe are meaningless.
I agree with you to some degree.
But after that, I'm a big fan.
I'm not.
You need
some data to work with. But the caller, the texter made a good point. It is, you know, I think what he does, he tried to explain it to me once on the air.
Really?
He was talking about weighted numbers and means and algorithms, and I was like, okay, I'll take your word for it, Jeff. We'll come back. It's Fast Break Friday. He's Mike. I'm Bob, presented by Universal Windows Direct. Thanks for being with us here on the ESPN family of networks, of stations, including Lexington, ESPN and Lexington, and wherever you're listening to us on the web or on the internet. Glad to have you with us on Fast Break Friday.
With UPS, future you graduates from Metro College with zero debt. How? As a package handler, you'll have a great job while you attend Metro College, and 100% of your tuition will be covered. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at UPS.
We are ESPN Louisville, your home for the college football playoff, NFL, the Final Four, and best sports talk. Download the ESPN Louisville app today. Delivered by UPS Jobs Kentucky.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination, online at bluegrasskarting.com.